for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, November the 30th, 1997. Final service of the Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Robert Cameron of the Cameron family is the morning minister. Now, don't forget tonight that we're going into town to service all of you that are here. But now we'll turn the rest of the morning service over to Robert to either sing his lungs out or preach at us, one or the other, or a little bit of both. But Robert, bless you.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you being here.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You know why we can pray for Jasmine and have faith? Because the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. And somebody asked me if I sang in Scottish. And I said, not only did I sing in Scottish, but God talks to me in Scottish. You all thought that God spoke in American, didn't you? But when God speaks to me, when I speak to God, I speak to him in Scottish. And I want to sing the 23rd Psalm in Scottish for you. And I'll try anyway. The Almighty is my shepherd, I will not be wanting. He guards me like dew in the gifts that's a green. He talks me to far, calm waters await me. And he soothes my sore heart with a love in his ain. If I gang with him, strach for it, he'll tack me. In the mirk of the valley, near fear thee I'll be. Near me, who dark or who stormy the night is, yon rod and yon staff will aye comfort me. He gives me my mate right here in the midst. Oh, folks, far's delect would be my doon far. Abbot recht, ruin abbot me, our great muckle arms. He pours em the isle, take cover it are. No greedness and mercy are a recht ahead me. Gin it is dark, oh, the heat, oh, the day. Name it e'er who long in this world I'll be tricked. My heart's in the house, oh, the dear Lord, for my hymn's in the house, oh, the dear Lord, for hallelujah, hallelujah. Ne meter who long in this world I'll be tricket. My hymn's in the house of the dear Lord for aye. Our home is in the house of the dear Lord forever. Can I hear an amen? That's a great assurance. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been good to be with you all. And I've enjoyed myself. I've been a great cap. It's been nice to meet Bob Trench and Thelma after many years. And see, they're still going on, and we're still going on. And, you know, they say the older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune. He's shared well last night. Well, you got your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I just appreciate Glenn and Irma so much, especially Glenn. I don't know about Irma anymore because she's just been talking about me. But praise the Lord. Oh, racandolo brosoli tremendo cobosanta. This Irishman was applying for a job, so he had to take an aptitude test. And so the lady said, well, I'm going to give you an aptitude test. Finish off this nursery rhyme. Old MacDonald had a... And the party thought, no, I'm just telling you the story. But I appreciate your help there. You all knew it. You all got the job. Old MacDonald had a... And he said, Paddy said, farm. Oh, she says, good, Paddy. She says, can you spell it? He said, E-I-E-I-O. Praise the Lord. Well, that's got nothing to do with what I'm preaching on today. But I think it's okay to laugh in the presence of the Lord. Amen? I've told you before, I'm fundamental, with the emphasis on the fun and not the mental. I think for so long we've been duped to think that when we come into the house of the Lord, we catch on this kind of spirit. I call it the museum spirit. You know what a museum spirit is? You know, I've taken people to Scotland and to visit these castles and these rustic castles. And, you know, you're walking up the big driveway and everybody's happy and everybody's laughing and cutting up. You go in these big wooden doors and all of a sudden this museum spirit comes upon you and you begin to whisper and tippy-toe. You know, shh, Queen Victoria used to live here. And I think sometimes we're like that in the church. You know, we're all nice out in the canteen there or whatever we're doing. We come in these double doors and we get that, shh, God used to live here. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, he's still alive. Amen. This is not a museum. Can I hear an amen? Amen? The grave is empty, the stone is rolled away, and Christ is alive in our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And some people don't like joy. I had a woman come to me not too long, well, it's a couple of years now, and we were having a meeting one night, the Holy Ghost fell, people on the floor laughing, and this woman came up, and you can see by the look in her face, she was not happy. I mean, you can tell when people are not happy. She comes up, she says, where's all this joy going to take us? My first impression was, thank God I'm not married to her. And then I thought, it's funny, you know. The Holy Ghost comes in, gives us a little joy. We shake a little, we tremble a little, we fall down a little. And the old flesh doesn't like it. Nobody ever came to me and said, where'd all the gossip was going to get us? Nobody ever asked me, where's the backbiting going to get us? Where's all the carnality going to get us? But the Holy Ghost falls, and all of a sudden the flesh kicks up. Where's all this joy going to take us? I'll tell you where the joy is going to take us. Onward and upward. Hallelujah. It's going to take us on from glory to glory, victory to victory. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And I'll tell you, folks, never lose your joy. You lose your joy, you lose your strength. And that's why the devil's had us duped for years. That's why there's so much deliverance needed, because we've lost so much strength. The enemy's come in our weak moments, and he knows the buttons to push. But I'm here to tell you this morning, we were singing it earlier on, we were going to the enemy's camp, and that's what I'm going to preach on this morning, going to the enemy's camp and taking back what he's stolen from us. Is that all right? Hallelujah, because we have an authority. We have all authority given to us, because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said, all power is given unto us, and he says, I give it to you. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to send the Comforter. And he's going to lead you and direct you and help you and strengthen you. Thank you for that wonderful response. Amen. Thank you. Verse 30. Oh, hallelujah. I feel a drinking coming on. Verse 3. Excuse me. I'll tell you, some of my throat's all funny today too, but... Amen. God is still in control. You know, some people never lose their voice because they never sing. I reckon, you know, I'll get to this message in a second here. I reckon there's people been here this weekend, never even had a sweat bead. Well, I'm here to tell you, you've been cheating. If you sat in this place and you haven't had a drop of sweat on you, you've been cheating in your worship and your praise, and you're disgraceful. I've lost about 10 pounds, I reckon. Of course, I only put it on when I go back into the cafeteria, but... It was maybe the bluebell ice cream last night that maybe gave us easy now. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Elimelech, bring me the ephod. You see, son of Elimelech, I know, that's why I know the Scots are part of the Jews, because we can say that. I mean, you people have lost your roots, as Bob was saying last night. You need to pronounce that. Elimelech. Say Elimelech. Amen. It's not Loch Ness, it's Loch Ness. Say Loch Ness. Praise the Lord. You've got the heavenly language. We're in business today. And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Elimelech, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Verse 16. He led David down, and there they were scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away. Verse 19, nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. Say it with me. David brought everything back. David brought everything back. I'm telling you this morning, you and I have the authority and the power by the Holy Ghost resident in us to go to the enemy's camp and take everything back that we want back. Amen. Somebody says, well, do you want everything that the devil's stolen from you? Yep, because everything he's stolen has been good. He's left you with a bad. Everything the devil's stolen from you has been good. And I'm convinced that God wants the church to arouse. I'm convinced, you know, the church is a sleeping giant, just arousing from its sleep and getting its second wind and coming into the power of the Holy Spirit as the Lord wants it. So many people have the concept of, you know, the church is in its last legs. I don't personally believe that. The church is not on its last legs. Can I hear an amen? The church is not just hanging on until Jesus comes. You know, we used to have a concept like that, just hanging on until Jesus comes. We call it joining the white knuckle club. How many know what the white knuckle club is? That means that, you know, you grab onto something for grim death and you see the white of your knuckles. Years ago, about 6 years ago, my dad and I went to Alaska to do some ministry. And we went from island to island, and we had to go on these little puddle jumpers, they call them. These little float planes, beavers and otters, and, you know. And so we were going across one day, and I'm sitting in the front, and there's a bar, a reinforcing bar across. And this plane was going up and down and taking jumps, and my stomach was here one time and down there the next time, and you know, and I'm holding on to this bar, and you can see the whites of my knuckles. It was noisy, but so you couldn't speak because of the noise of the engine. But when we landed, I said to the pilot, my goodness, that was a rough day today. And he said to me, no, that was a good day today. That's the last time I've been on them planes. But I had joined the White Knuckle Club, and people have a concept of the church that we are part of the White Knuckle Club. Oh, God, if you don't come, we're going to go under. Not so, folks. Not so. Doesn't the Bible say he's coming back for a bride? Coming back for a bride. He's not coming back for a widow. He's not coming back for a streetwalker. He's not coming back for a pauper. He's coming back for a bride. And you know what the Bible says? He's going to present us spotless. Beautiful before the Father. I think he's got a little work to do. He's a little makeup to put on, hasn't he? Yeah. I mean, the bride's got a little makeup to put on. You woman, you've got your Mary Kay to help you through. Us men, we have nothing but our natural beauty to help us to get through. But that's how we think. The church is going under. I used to think, you know, when you read that scripture, I think it's Matthew 18, you know, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And as a young man growing up in this kind of philosophy, I used to think that, you know, I picture that as the little wee church cowering in a corner, the big almighty gates of hell coming down on top of it and just beating the church to pulp. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And all us, at the last minute, after we've been just about beaten to death, bruised and battered, the Lord takes the gates off and here we are. No, if you study the scripture, the gates were the place of council. And the gates were in the cities where all the city leaders came and made their big decisions, made all their council decisions. What the Lord was saying, what the Scripture was saying here is, I will build my church, and all the counselors of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my, and all the counselors of hell will not prevail against it. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't care what the counselors of hell are doing. They may be on the countryside laughing, as the Bible says, it's chapter and verse 16. They're on the mountainside, reveling and having a good time of what they've stolen from Judah and from the Philistines. But little do they know that David was on his way. Hallelujah. And he was going to change the scenario. And he was going to change the circumstance. And I'm convinced today the devil and his crowd and his minions are sitting laughing at us because of what they've stolen from us. But we're serving warning on him this morning. We're coming to bring everything back and take everything back you've stolen from us. Is that all right? And here is a story. Because after all, the church is not on the defensive. The church is on the offensive. I wrote a song a couple of years ago, we're pushing back the darkness by the power of God. I used to get sick of people talking about the darkness pushing them back and the darkness causing them to fall. And I thought, man, it's about time we started pushing the darkness back, not the darkness pushing us back. Amen. The Bible said the light dispelled the darkness. It didn't say the darkness dispelled the light. It said the light dispels the darkness. Amen. It's time you and I took the offensive, took the initiative, get on the offensive, instead of sitting snug in our churches all the time. It's about time we got up as an army and get out and begin to fight in the territory that God wants us to fight in. Amen. Here is a story of the devil coming, the enemy coming in and stealing everything that David had, but somehow or other, he got it back. So there's several points I want to bring out to you this morning in this message. So if you've got a pen and a piece of paper, just write it down. It'll keep you in good stead. Point number one. The reason the story happened. The reason. There's always a reason why things happen. Did you know that?
Yes.
There's always a reason. There's a law of cause and effect. There's a reason why anything happens to us, whether good or bad. And there was a reason why, pardon me, it's breakfast coming up again. Let me take a little drink here, get it down. There's a reason why this happened to David. And I'll tell you what it is. Now, because we're preachers, we don't tell you this right away. We've got to paint a little story on it, you see. It takes time to tell a story. Preachers can never tell a story quick. 1 Samuel 16. David, 1 Samuel 15, Saul is rejected as king of Israel because of his disobedience. And for 2 years, Samuel mourns for Saul. 2 years, he mourns for Saul. And in chapter 16, you can read that God said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him? Fill your horn with oil, your shofar, fill the shofar with oil, and get down to the house of Jesse, because I have found me a man. So Samuel goes down to the house of Jesse, and he looks at the seven brothers, and He looks, and they're all nice, and this is a message in itself, but I'm just going to skim through it. All the seven brothers, anoint them all, nothing doing. He said to Jesse, do you have any other boys? And Jesse said, yep, every family has one. He said, but I don't think you'll be interested in this guy. He's the youngest of the family, and he's kind of weird. He sits up in the mountainside looking after the sheep, and he's always writing these songs. Sits there with his harp and fiddles away all day writing songs and talking about glory and God. And it's kind of weird. I don't think you're interested in him. In fact, you know, when company come, we usually put him out to look after the sheep. You talk about if you had a complex, if you had an inferiority complex, David could have had one that day. Here's the man of God coming, the man who's revered from Dan to Beersheba. He's known all over the nation. And all of a sudden, he's coming and the father says, now, David, out you go and watch the sheep. We'll take care of the man of God. Wouldn't that give you a complex? Eh? But you know, that's how some people would treat us. Here's the anointing coming. Stay over there. We'll handle the anointing. We'll go for this. Just you stay out there. In comes David, 5'2", eyes of blue. And Samuel anoints him. God said, that's a man. He anoints him. And he's anointed to be king. Now, he's anointed ceremonially and with Samuel and prophetically, but it hasn't happened yet. How many realize when God gives you a prophecy, by the time you say amen to that prophecy, and there it is, that's a very difficult time. That could be a very, very hard time. Because that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. If God says it, I believe it, that settles it, right? Well, the truth is, if God says it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. So, but it's a hard time. When you say amen to the word of God, amen to the prophecy, to there it is, it's a very hard time. Sometimes a very troubling time. He was anointed to be king, but somehow or other, One day the ladies had a woman's aglow meeting. Now, Glenn, Irma talked about the men the other day. I'm going to talk about the ladies today. You women have caused more trouble. From the Garden of Eden right on. Eve. Jezebel. That's just the name, too. The woman and Moses' sister. Miriam. And how many more we can say? But never mind, we'll carry on. But anyway, the woman had a woman's aglow meeting and began to praise the Lord. This is what it said. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And Saul overheard them. And the Bible says he was angry and jealous, and he kept a good eye on David from that day forth. That's called the gift of suspicion. that's a tenth gift. The gift of suspicion. And David understood that, and the Bible said David fled. Let me tell you the reason. David fled from the land of Israel into the land of the Philistines. You know the reason? The reason this story happened to David? He was running with the wrong crowd. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you're running with the wrong crowd, you're going to get yourself in a mess. In Britain, we have an expression, running with the hares and hunting with the hounds. Some people are both sides. You've got to choose which side you're going to be on. David, for 16 months, he was in the land of the Philistines. He had no business being in the land of the Philistines. But he fled because he got afraid. Fear made him flee. Take note of that. Fear made him flee. When you're running with the wrong crowd, honey, nothing is going to work for you. Nothing is going to work for you. What does the Psalm say in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but in his law doth he meditate day and night. But he delights himself in the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth his fruit, and everything he does shall prosper. The man that does not stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. David was running with the Philistines. Whose report was he getting? The Philistine report. He wasn't hearing the voice of God. He was hearing what the Philistines were talking about. And when you're running with the wrong crowd, you'll get their report. And usually a bad report and a wrong report. But fear made him flee. I have a friend who's a very wealthy businessman. He's got a $1 million home in the water. He's got everything that money can buy. He's up 2 years older than me. And he's got everything that you would think you would want in life, but he's one of the most frustrated men I've ever met in my life. You know why? Because if when he was younger, he had a call to the ministry, and he couldn't trust God to meet his needs financially, so he ran from the call of God, went into business, made all this money, sitting there, 47 years old, frustrated because of all the years he's missed, because fear made him flee. Fear made him flee and run with the wrong crowd. Instead of being in the ministry, he went and made money. And that's, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not against people making money. Thank God for businessmen, or we wouldn't be here today. But when you've got a call into the ministry, don't run from your call and go into business, because you may make money, but you'll never be satisfied. I wanted to be in business. My family were all businessmen when I was in school, and when I graduated, my desire was I want to graduate and go into the family business. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't care for school. I wasn't very academic. I wanted to get out, get into the family business. They owned a huge furniture store and a big construction company. And that's all I wanted to do, get in there and help in running the family business. The year I graduated, they sold the business and came out to preach. You talk about being had. It's the most amazing thing. I was traveling here, Glenn, for 10 years, and I was kicking and struggling all the way. Writing songs, singing. Didn't preach then. And finally, about 10 years, and one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, look, I've given you a ministry. I've given you songs. I've opened doors for you. What more do you want me to do? And whenever I realized that God had put his hand upon me, I settled down into the life of the ministry. And I'll tell you, it's been an adventure. It's been a trip. And I'll tell you something. I was young, and now I'm older. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I've never wanted a meal, as you could tell that. And I've never wanted anything. God's provided everything I've ever needed, and because I submitted to the call of the Lord. And I'll tell you something, don't allow fear to make you flee from your calling. Fear, I've probably told you this before, fear is the dark room where we develop all our negatives. Fear is the dark room where we develop all our negatives. And some of us are so negative, it would take more than 1 hour to develop them. You didn't get that, did you? I'll move on. Fear made him flee. The reason, he was running with the wrong crowd. Listen, point number two, the result. Everything taken. Everything taken. The Amalekites come in. David is in Ziklag. He's out to fight. The Amalekites come in from behind, steal everything they've got, their women, their wives, their children, their possessions, and clear them out and burn Ziklag. And everything is taken. The Amalekites come and take everything. Now, that's amazing. Because, listen, there is no reason, there was absolutely no reason for any Amalekite to be left standing. Because that was the command that Saul got in 1 Samuel 15, slay the Amalekites utterly, don't leave anybody standing, but he never did his job right. And I'm going to tell you folks, if you don't kill that sin in your life, if you don't get to the root of that problem, it'll come back to haunt you time after time after time after time. Like I said the other night, you'll trip up the same brick every time if you don't deal with it. Paul says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. There should not have been any Amalekite left in order to, because in chapter 15 they were told to be slain. Everybody was to be slain. Somehow or other, they got away. 15 chapters later, there's a whole army of them. They multiply. How many know? If you don't deal with sin, it multiplies. It doesn't add, it multiplies. I think I shared this the other night. I've seen people, when they backslide from the Lord and they slip away from the Lord, they're worse than they were before they came to the Lord. They get worse because sin multiplies. Now listen. Oftentimes we tolerate what we really should annihilate. Write that one down. Oftentimes we tolerate what we really should annihilate. We allow things in our lives that we should quickly nip in the bud and annihilate them so they won't trouble us anymore. And that's what happened with the Amalekites. They were allowed to fester. Oftentimes we tolerate what we really should annihilate. I'm not repeating myself. I just see some people are trying to remember the line. Oftentimes we tolerate. This is a recorded message. This is a recorded message. Oftentimes we tolerate what we really should annihilate. And if we don't annihilate these things in our lives, they'll come back to sting us. They come into Ziklag and they steal their wives. That means their love. He'll steal your love. The devil wants to steal your love. Steals their children, steal their joy, steals their possessions, their livelihood. He'll steal everything from you as the result of running with the wrong crowd. Okay, let's carry on. Verse 4. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Point number three, the reaction. The reaction to the enemy taking things from us. Sorrow and sadness. When we allow the enemy to come in and get a foothold in our lives, there's nothing but sorrow and sadness and mayhem and chaos. And the devil wants to do that all the time. Remember the story when Jesus was born and the three wise men, the three magi went to Herod and they said, we want to see the child, and they never came back and got angry. You know, remember Herod said, kill all the baby boys. The devil's been out to destroy us for years and bring sorrow. And they went through the camp of Israel and they killed all the baby boys. And oh, the Bible says Rachel was weeping for our children. Weeping for our children. What a mayhem. What sadness. What sorrow. And here they are. The Bible says they wept until they had no more strength left to weep. Have any of us ever done that? I've never done that. I maybe will have down the line. Who knows? But I've never had to do that. But I've wept before the Lord. But I've wept many times in the last 3 years. But I couldn't say I've wept, so I didn't have any strength left. But it wasn't a sad weeping. It was the Holy Ghost weeping and just a cleansing weeping. But here they were. They were so sorrowful, they didn't have enough strength left to weep. But if that was the only problem, that would be bad enough. But the Bible says, out of that sorrow and sadness comes bitterness. Verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit. When we allow sorrow and sadness to take hold in our lives, folks, the next step is bitterness. How many's ever been bitter? Some of you are not too sure. Let me lift my hand for you. My, there's times we've been bitter. And what, you know, a situation happened in my life and one of my cousins, and I got really bitter about it. But how many know you cannot be bitter and be blessed? No, you cannot. I got bitter over this situation happening between my cousin and I, and I wouldn't talk to him. I wouldn't go to his wedding. Now listen, one of the most important days in our lives, I wouldn't go to his wedding. He wouldn't come to my wedding. I started to dry up. The song started to dry up, and I wonder what it was. I blamed him. It wasn't him at all. It was me. Why? The irony of it is we're the best of friends now. And if we'd only had enough sense up here, my wife said to me, if your brain was made of chocolate, you wouldn't have enough to fill an M&M. one of these days, Alice. But you know, when you think about some of the things we've got bitter about, it's laughable. It's not laughable at the time because the devil's got a foothold and he's got us bitter. These men were talking to Stone and David. Listen, the day before, that's the same man who would have died for David. The same man broke through the enemy camp, three of the guys broke through the enemy ranks, got to Bethlehem, got a jug of water for David, all because he said, oh, for a drink of the wells of Bethlehem. They risked life and limb just to please the king. But because bitterness came in, they were going to kill him, they were going to stone him. I'm going to tell you, we've got to be careful that bitterness, that's the reason the Bible says, beware lest a root of bitterness spring up. You can't even see a root. Talking about Bob's talking about roots last night. You can't even see a root. It's under the ground. But that's how subtle bitterness is. Beware lest a root of bitterness spring up, whereby many are defiled. See, when you get bitter, you affect a lot of people. Ah, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Think you do. And the man got bitter in spirit. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Bitterness will paralyze us. I was in New York years ago with my dad and Simon and my uncles, and we were having a meeting, and there was a lady in this, it was a house, big house meeting in New York, and there was a lady sitting on the steps, totally paralyzed, down one side of her body. And this is the story of this woman, Glenn. You probably heard this story before. This woman was in the hospital she had a baby girl, about 3 years old. She was in the hospital having a baby boy. While she was in the hospital, the girl was killed. The three-year-old girl was killed in an accident. And the doctor came in and told her, he says, she just had a baby boy. And the doctor said, look, so-and-so, I've got good news for you. I've got some bad news for you. The good news is you've got a beautiful new baby boy. The bad news is your daughter's been killed. And the lady sat in the hospital bed. She says, I don't want that baby boy. I want my daughter. I want my daughter. I don't want that baby boy. Well, that woman was so bitter. The husband told us he had to shelter the boy from her. Because she just took an umbrage at her, she got so bitter, and she lost her baby girl, and eventually one day she woke up and she started to get paralyzed. Right down the one side. I'm telling you, bitterness will cause heartache. Bitterness will cause, and it's a medical fact that bitterness can cause hardening of the arteries. How many of you watching the news these last few weeks have talked about Prozac and praise, you know, medicine and faith? That even the world's beginning to see that people with faith in God heal quicker and heal better. Amen. We've known that for years. We don't have to have a Harvard degree for that. We've known that. I knew that just leaving school when I was 15. She was sitting in the stairs that night, and we were praising the Lord. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. And all of a sudden, there's a shriek coming through from the stairway. And the next thing we saw, this woman running into the room, Glenn. Running into the room. While we were singing, the Holy Spirit spoke to her about her bitterness, and she said, Lord, forgive me for that bitterness. And in just like an instant, that woman, the paralysis left her. She was delivered. She told us later, she says, I went home, and I've been loving on the boy ever since. She's been loving on him ever since. Of course, that's a few years ago. He'll be a big boy now. Bitterness will paralyze us. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit, but thank God for that but. Amen. That's a nice conjunction there. Thank God for that but. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Point number four. If you're looking for points, I'll just give it to you. Repentance. The repentance. David knew enough to know that something was wrong in the camp. You ever go along and all of a sudden things are not just clicking right? You know, we used to do that in worship. Sometimes we start singing worship and it's not going right. And then, because maybe we're not the ones to be leading it. Maybe somebody else is. You know, we talk about having the cup in the sack. Remember Joseph's brothers? 12 brothers, 11 brothers, only one had a cup in the sack. And sometimes we talk about somebody's got the cup in the sack for the service. Or somebody's, you know, somebody's scheduled to preach, slated to preach, and all of a sudden, because of it, or the Holy Ghost moves and somebody else does it. It's just, you know, you've got to be sensitive. David all of a sudden realizes something's wrong. Now, that's a good point to start from. When things are out of kilter and things are going wrong and all hell's breaking loose, something's wrong somewhere. The Bible said David got in his closet and began to worship the Lord, began to seek the Lord. He began to repent before the Lord. I'm going to tell you, folks, I believe you and I ought to repent far more than we do. I believe we need to repent daily, myself. Keep short accounts. If we could just keep on going on and never get back to repenting to the Lord, just asking, Lord, cover me this day. I repent for these thoughts and these things that I've said and for the actions that I've taken. If we don't repent from them, they'll go stronger and stronger and greater. And before you know it, they'll grab you and they'll have you paralyzed. Repentance. Repentance. When something's not right, it's time to repent. My father was in the hospital 2 years ago in Derby, England. All of a sudden, he got really ill. Now, this is not only his heart. He got really, really ill, and he lost about 40 pounds in about 11 days. And he was staying with my sister. My sister called out. She says, you know, something's wrong with Dad. If nothing happens, it looks like he's going to die. And, you know, that's a bad report, by the way. But that's just how she said it. And I corrected her. And he could hardly talk. He was dehydrating, of course. So they took him to the hospital for 10 days and gave him all kinds of tests. And how many know when you get into a hospital, they like to practice on you? See, they're called doctor's practices. That's why they're called doctor's practices. They love to practice on you. That's beside that point. And he's lying one morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, Glenn. And he's weak. And he doesn't know. They haven't found out what's wrong with him. And he's weak. And he's thinking he's going to die. That's what that was in his mind. Well, Lord, if you're going to take me. And he said to the Lord, Lord, in his weak state, if I have done anything wrong, if I have sinned, I repent. 2 a.m, I repent. Lord, if I've sinned, I repent. And the Lord spoke to him and said, read Psalm 103. And my dad knew Psalm 103. He preached all his life. But he leaned over and picked up his Bible and began to read Psalm 103. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my dad and said, I'm going to heal you. You'll be out of this hospital tomorrow. He was out of that hospital the next day. He's never been back. But he repented. He got right with God. He just cleared the slate. And I'll tell you, folks, I'm not talking about now that legalistic repent. I'm just talking about clear the slate every morning. Get up and say, well, Lord, here I am. Probably I'll do some stupid stuff today, but I repent. I usually pray for my wife because I feel she needs it more than I do, you know. Sorry. Sorry, Margaret. It's amazing what you say when you're under the anointing. Point number five. The request. The request. Here we have, look, the reason, the result, the reaction, the repentance, the request. That's good homiletics, by the way, for all you young budding preachers. The request. Verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? The request. David went to the Lord. David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Elimelech, bring me the ephod. And David inquired of the Lord. How many times do you and I fail to inquire of the Lord in situations? You may be like me. Oftentimes, we do what we think is expedient. Aren't we guilty of that? 1 and 1 equals 2, so we have to supply 2. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Instead of doing what we think is expedient many, many times, we ought to be inquiring of the Lord to see what the Lord says. Remember Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane? He swipes the ear off the high priest's servant. He never asked Jesus. He never inquired of the Lord. Peter was impulsive. He just went out with swish. Oops. Ear. Mike Tyson would have been proud of him. Think of that one. But anyway, Jesus just had to put the ear back on again, wasting precious time, because he never inquired of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, how many times have you got yourself in a mess? And I'm talking about, when I say you, I mean me too. How many times have we got ourselves in a mess because we never inquired of the Lord? I'll tell you, folks, we need to inquire of the Lord. We need to have a communion with God all the time. I've seen me walking down the golf course, walking down the fairway with my clubs on my shoulders and asking the Lord, well, Lord, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? You know, you can inquire of the Lord anywhere, in your truck, Herman. When you run over, after you've run over all these motorcycles, you can inquire of the Lord. Did I do right, Lord? Was that right what I did? Oh, Rob. Most people thought you were telling a true story. We need to inquire of the Lord. The request, shall I pursue? What does that old song say? Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Listen, the request, verse 8, the reply. Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Where there's a cry, there's a reply. Can I hear an amen? And when God replies, honey, we better get ready to do what he tells us to do. When Joshua took over the children of Israel, four times in the first chapter of Joshua, God says to Joshua, therefore be strong and very courageous. This fight that we're in, this battle we're in, is not for the weak and the yellow-bellied. If you're going to do something for God, folks, you're going to have a steel, a backbone of steel. That's why Joseph, the Bible says, God put steel in Joseph's soul. The way he went and the thing, the way we go, so, I mean, God is strengthening us to prepare us for the battle. That's why he said in Deuteronomy to the children of Israel, I put you through the wilderness. I put you through the wilderness to prove you, to test you, because you weren't able to fight the Canaanites when you first came out of Egypt. You had to go through the wilderness to strengthen, to test, to prove, and to temper. Eh? You may be rich, you may be poor, you may be high, you may be low, but when God says go, you got to go. Remember Gideon's men? Starts out with 32,000 men. God says, we'll have to thin them out a little bit. You have too many men. You'll think it's your own strength and not mine. Okay, Lord, that's fine with me. Just weed them out a little bit. So the Lord says, well, all those that are kind of fearful, just ask them to go home. 22,000 men left him. Two-thirds of his troop left. See, you can't fight if you're fearful. You cannot fight if you're fearful. Why? Fear will make you flee. We've already said it. God said, you're still too many. Yeah, you're kidding. Yeah. He says, I'll tell you what to do. He says, watch the men when they drink. He says, and the ones that drink a certain way, we'll keep them. And the ones that drink the other way, we'll put them home. He's left with 300 men. 300 men. But I'll tell you something about Gideon's 300 men. They knew how to drink. You listen, Bob? They knew how to drink. The Bible says they drank with their eyes open. See, when we get drunk in the Holy Ghost, that's not a case of just having a good old time and down the floor and a ha-ha and a hee-hee and a laugh here and a cry and a shake there. Oh, no, no. I know exactly what I'm going. I've got vision. When I drink the wine, I'm drinking with my eyes open. And I'll tell you, folks, we need to learn to have our eyes open, have vision. We need to learn to know how to drink of the Holy Ghost wine in order to have vision for what God wants us to do. Amen? So we have to go. You can go if you're afraid. Point number 7. The restoration. Verse 16. He led David down. He is an Egyptian slave that Malachi had left for dead. But David found him and revived him. And he took him down to where the Malachites were. And there they were scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. It's amazing, isn't it? I've already said it. Here they were just having party time because of what they've stolen from the land of Judah. Notice where they stole it from, the land of Judah, the land of praise. One of the first insurgencies in your life, the devil will come in your praise life. Because if he can stop your praise, he can stop your song. If he can stop your song, he'll stop your joy. If he can stop your joy, he'll stop your strength. So that's one of the first areas in your life the devil will come in and steal from you in your life, in your praise area. And here they are reveling and carrying on and just all with all the plunder and all the loot. I'm going to tell you something, it's the same today. Figuratively speaking, they're on the mountainsides laughing at the church because we're so at pieces, we're so schismed, we're so split that the devil's having our field day. But I'm here to tell you this morning, he who laughs last, laughs longest. Amen? We're on our way down. Hallelujah. We're on our way down. The Bible says that David went down and he fought them from dusk of that day till evening of the next day. What does that mean? That means that you're not going to get it easy. If you want to get your stuff back and the devil's stolen, you're going to have to fight for it. Shall we be carried to the skies and flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and throw it through bloody seas? I mean, other folks have had it hard, and other folks have had to fight for it. Do you think we're going to get it on a silver platter? No. Remember when Nehemiah, when they were building the temple, Nehemiah told these men in Nehemiah 4, he says, stand on the wall with your trowel in one hand and your sword in the other hand. And fight for your families, fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your friends. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'll tell you, when if we want something to come back, when we want to take it back from the enemy's camp, we're going to have to fight for it.
That's
right. It's not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. The Bible said David fought all day. David brought everything back. Comes back to the camp. 200 men couldn't go. 400 men went. 200 men couldn't go. So some of the 400 men said, well, I'll tell you, they're going to get nothing of the loot that we took back because they never went. And David said, no, that's not going to be the case. And David set a precedent that we still enjoy today. David said, no, brothers, that's not going to be. Everybody is going to get the same. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Pensacola is not Assemblies of God revival. Toronto is not a Canadian revival. Rodney Howard Brown is not a South African revival. It's revival. It's God's revival. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And I'll tell you what it also tells me. When David set that precedent that day, I don't care whether you get saved today, you get the same salvation as I got 31 years ago. I don't care whether you get filled with the Holy Ghost today, it's the same Holy Ghost I got so many years ago. I don't care if you get saved if you get filled with the Holy Ghost next week, it's the same anointing you'll get. Because that's how God does it. David went to the enemy's camp, and he took back everything the devil had stolen. Everybody stand. Let me ask you a question this morning. Pay attention to me. I'm not finished yet. I just ask you to stand to give your bums a rest. Because somebody told me this, the mind can only take in what the seat can endure. And sometimes it's hard to take in when you're squirming in that metal seat. How many here this morning the devil's stolen your joy? At times. A lady came to our church years ago in Scotland, and she said, and she was talking to my uncle, and she said, oh, she says, your church is so full of joy. She says, you know, yeah, I see you dancing there. You know, but before I was saved, I danced. I was the last one off the floor. I was the first one on the dance floor, and I was the last one off. She says, I'm saved now. Just like that, this deadpan, I'm saved now. And we found out we didn't stop dancing when we got saved. We just changed partners. It changed our vision, changed our thought about it. But the devil wants to steal your joy. How many of the devil's caused your love to be stolen sometimes? How many of the devil's stolen your peace? How many is ever going to bed at night, and instead of switching off, you switch on, and old Goliath is on your shoulder, and he's telling you that you're never going to make it. And everybody else is sleeping now. Everything's quiet, even the birds are quiet. And that old devil's sitting on your shoulder telling you you're not going to make it. And you're sitting there, and before you know it, you're sitting shaking. He's stolen your peace from you. Because that's what he is. He's a sticky-fingered thief. Can I hear an amen? How many here this morning, he's stolen your health? You know, I just did a study recently about the word dis. Dis, disease. D-I-S. That word dis, it means the god of the underworld. The god of the underworld. So where does disease come from? The god of the underworld. Where does discord come from? Where does disappointment come from? The god of the underworld. How many this morning the devil's stolen your families? I'm here to tell you, you're going to get your families back.
Amen.
I love preaching about household salvation. It's one of my pet themes. But you're going to get your families back. I don't care what they look like now. It's not what you see, it's what you sow. You may look at that son, that daughter, and all hell's breaking loose in them. And they're running. The more you pray, the harder you got. I told you a story about my brother, my older brother. What my older brother didn't do wasn't worth talking about. He was the black sheep of the family. And he caused havoc in my family. It cost my mother and father thousands of dollars. Ended up in one of the top security prisons in Scotland. But my mother used to get up every day. And she'd say to the devil, devil, you'll never get my boy. You'll never get my son. You'll never get my son. And the more she prayed, the worse he got. But she held on. You've got to hold on, folks. You've got to fight for them. You'll never get my son. It took 40 years. It took 40 years, but Michael came to the Lord. Michael got released from prison, got delivered. He's one of the big youth leaders in Scotland. Because my mother never gave up on him. I'm going to tell you folks, this morning, the devil stole some of your families. I'm here to tell you, never give up. Never, never, never give up. It's always too soon to quit. How many here the devil's trying to steal your hope from you? Oh, I'll tell you. But listen, remember what God told the children of Israel in exile in Jeremiah 29? He says, I know my plans I have for you. Plans that you may prosper. Plans that you may have hope. Plans that you may have a future. You maybe think your future looks grim this morning, but I'm going to tell you, God's got a future for you. God's got a plan for you. God's got a hope for you. When you don't have hope for yourself, He's got it for you. When you don't have faith for yourself, He's got it for you. How many God's stolen your finances from you? The devil's stolen your finances from you. I'm telling you, God's going to give it back to you. If you start tithing to the Lord and start giving to the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and don't give it grudgingly like we said last night, but with your heart, soul, and mind, God is going to release back your finances for you. When Job lost everything, the Bible says he got double back what he lost in the first place because he trusted the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, God wants to give it all back to us. How many of you have ever... the devil's tried to steal your faith from you. People say, well, I don't know if you can lose your faith. Well, I think you can. I'll tell you why. Remember Jesus in Luke 22, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that... Now, I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your faith. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, does that presuppose it could have failed? But you know what Jesus said? But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, that means turned around from the position he was in, strengthen the brethren. Oh, I'm here to tell you this morning, God's going to give you your faith back. If your faith has been wavering, if your faith has been a little shaky, I'm here to tell you this morning, God's giving it back to you. You've got to fight for it. Oh, shabarako sundilie prosandako sindike. Rako dili pronomo sandara maziste. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, Jesus, you're here this morning. I know it's a camp, and I know most people come to camp are Christians, but hey, I don't know for sure. You're here this morning, you have never given your heart to Jesus. And you're going to say, Brother Robert, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Slip your hand up right now. Young person or old person, slip it right up. I want to give my life to Jesus. Slip it right up. Everybody's saved. You're here this morning and you are saved. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to say, Robert, I am saved. I love the Lord. But I want the faith you're talking about to go to the enemy's camp. I don't think I have the strength to do it on my own. But I want a release of faith in my own heart to go to the enemy's camp and take back what he's stolen from you. Let me see that hand this morning. Amen. 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 Oh, Rabba Shundolo Prosadino Drobiyarabasanta. All those that lift your hands, come out the front. We're going to impart faith to you this morning. We're going to impart faith. Oh, Shili Prokosini Pitro Sondili Trikabasandai. Karama, right up front here. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramandilo Prosondili Korabashanda Rabasata. Rakondili Prosandi. Hallelujah. Oh, come right up, hon. Come right up here. Fill up the front here because there's people behind you. Hallelujah. You know, we have that because we ask not. We have that because you ask not. I'm going to tell you, folks, God wants to impart faith to us. Great faith. Great faith. Great faith. And I'll tell you, the devil's a liar. He's a thief. He's a usurper. He's a deceiver. But I'll tell you, we're wise to his plan this morning. And I know God sent me to minister this word to you. And God's going to give you that faith. You're not going to run anymore. You're going to head for the storm. You're going to head for the battle. You're going to run to the roar. Hallelujah. You're going to run to the roar. You know, years ago, I was a fisherman for 2 years in the North Sea in Scotland. And every time when we were caught in a storm, the first thing the captain would do for safety would be head the ship into the direction of the storm. That's the safest place to be. Don't run from the storm. Don't go across the storm. Head into the storm. It's safest. It's the safest place for you. And I'll tell you, what faith is going to do to you this morning, what this impartation of faith is going to do, is going to make you head for the storm. And when you head for the storm, it's not going to be as bad as you think. Father, in Jesus' name. I impart faith. I impart faith. I impart faith in Jesus' name.
Great faith. Great faith. Kuradabo sandurama suramatili ronamolotro sondili prasa kushti beten sombroto kosite. Great faith. Great faith. Great faith. Hallelujah. Ore le pronosi che debo son tarabasike. Rambundo roprosile pronelo mororobo sandaramadike. Receive it right now. Breathe in the breath of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Randala brosundoro kabosike rinimi. El pronoco sondili prasada bohonda kadaste. Ranada pro sondika. Great faith. Faith to face the mountain. Rabundu rabasakila maramasa. Saka. No more weak faith. But great faith, hallelujah. I speak great faith in the name of Jesus. Prukanamo sundolo progondo kabosati. Elembro no yes soprana baranda kabosanda. In the name of Jesus, receive. In the name of Jesus, receive. Kuramo sanda. El prokosuli pronomo sandike. Romo dobo sundai. We impart, Lord. We impart faith to cover all inferiority, to cover all fear. Kuramandi li prosonduri kababashonda rababasanda. El pronosi li pranabos undike di si punto goye. We impart faith, great faith, great faith, great faith. Hallelujah. You haven't seen anything yet. Ramada su li pro okumosi li pranakos tantini ete raba trebosunduro bohunde kasi. Great faith, great, great faith. Faith far above that you have already. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kur si be pronomosontili rabo norobosandaria nabasuka teke e pronohondo tobobosandaria rabaha. Great faith. Great faith. Supranili pronobosandara bashanda kababasa. Great faith. Faith to face the mountain. Faith to face the mountain. Hallelujah. Great faith. Great faith to Jasmine, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Remo sondili prokodostantike de boronomosanta. El pronolo prosonduli prosandikiri. Rambolo prosonduli pramasandiri ando kobosiki ende. Great faith. Let me sleep passy here. In Jesus' name, great faith. I'm part faith. Oh, la probabosonduli e progosondike basola pranamahasete. Hurabashanda. You've asked for it, you've searched for it, you've run for it, you've got it. Great, great faith. Even this day, hallelujah, you're going to feel it in your spirit. Great faith, and such as you've never had before. And your running and your trials and your search has paid off, brother. Hallelujah. Kura masanda rabotisi. Rambundo roboshumbosi ki lipra mahasato. Rale prodosondo. Great faith. Great, great faith. Great faith, Ruthie. Hallelujah. Ramamasha, your faith has been wavering. But I'm imparting to you great faith today. Rile prokosonda kababasiki. Randi li pronomoto robo shundo robo sinki. Ramata solo pranda babasandai. Ela mondo, nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. In Jesus' name, great faith, Linda. Great faith. New faith for a new day. Hallelujah. Sagadoronda dabahande kisanamotaya. Ramahasunda. Ratikos. Not time to retire, it's time to refire. Silimbrondo krobo sile pronana dadadite le prondo tro sile pronamatindi sungoro stiki bondabasa. Great faith, great faith, Irma. Hallelujah. Oh, radadadada, probably not in the mind realm, but in the spirit realm. Sikondo rabashanda kade ato koso. Your mind says one thing, the Holy Ghost says another. I'll listen to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Randa ramasukurike ninina mobo borondo kobo satara matama e prono romosandara di gedede roposondi kebra. Randa, great faith, great faith, fresh faith. You've had great faith, God. God's given you fresh, great faith. Hallelujah. And he's given you some good new wine as well. Randa raba sundukuru. Leprondi tibi sunduru mandaste. Rabba mama babo osoni kereke. Ra konduro suli pramosh tanamasanda. Great faith. Now, God is going to give you great faith because you're going to need it more than you realize it. And we're just imparting it today because you're going to need it. It's a deposit there ready for the using. Father, in Jesus' name, Joel and Melanie. Oh, Rabba, Shapro, Lepono, Siki, Damadasa, Rana, you have brought them to this place for such a time as this. We can't understand it. We can't understand you. We trust you. And Father, we just impart faith. And we trust you. Ura hasunda rabanti ne matosakati. Ranana nepo bosunda. Randa kadasike dabo bo botiti sindi. Rama. And Joel, when you open your mouth, you're going to be so prophetic, you'll amaze yourself. You'll amaze yourself. You'll stand, you'll think, this is simple. But it's not your words, it's the words of the Holy Ghost. Rama, Sarah, because he saw you when you were nothing. He saw you when you were struggling. He saw you when you were asking, what's it all about, Lord? And he's led you and directed you. Yeah. And the path has been strange, but the path has been God's. Oh, Rama Mashanda, Rati Keso Humboto Sikidaba, Oh, Rama Sada. Melanie, you're going to start writing songs, prophetic songs. You're going to start writing songs for the 90s. Songs that are going to change. The songs are going to bring revival to areas that revival has never been yet. In Jesus' name. Father, I impart the ministry of music, the ministry of songwriting, in the name of Jesus. Go, Rabasate Kabounda, Rondili, Prosoramasanta, Shadarabondo, Robosatiki. Father, I impart great faith to this brother. I impart great faith. Lord, I see a big cloud hanging over him. And I speak to that cloud today. Cloud, be gone. Cloud, be gone. It's a cloud of depression. It's a cloud of bitterness. It's a cloud of destruction. And I'll tell you, if that cloud doesn't rise, it's going to destroy you. But I speak to that cloud this morning. Cloud, be gone. Cloud, be gone. Hallelujah. And let the joy of the Lord bubble up in his soul. Let the faith of the Holy Ghost and be imparted to him today so he can skip and run and leap. Like you ought to be doing instead of struggling and scraping and hanging loose. Shura masantrokodi. Ramondo robosatilinda gabasete. Oh, rababashando robosanta. Father, we impart faith to this young man. I've watched you all week. I've watched you all week just worshiping the Lord. And I'm telling you something. My spirit has been stirred as I've watched you. I was teasing you the other day, but I'm telling you, I'm not teasing anymore. The Holy Ghost has got his hand upon you. God's going to use you in a mighty way. God's already used you. But which is the part of great faith, because you're going to see some great, exciting things happen. God has got a special anointing upon you. My spirit has a witness. Oh, let those troubles trouble you no more, honey. The devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a robber. Let him rob you no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rinde krosundara bashanda kabosti kaba. Father, we impart great faith, our brother. Lord, let him relax in the Holy Ghost. He's too intense. He's too uptight. Oh, just fill him, Lord. Fill him with a new wine, Lord, to ease him up a little bit. Hallelujah. Rana da da baba sho pra baba sanda. Lord, after all, it's your gift, not ours. It's not our responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's your gift, your faith. It's your song. It's your voice. It's your anointing. We're just carriers. We're just vessels. Oh, I speak peace today. Just go in the flow, boy. Just go in the flow. Get in that river and swim down river. Hallelujah. Ran da ra la ra. Let the river take you. Let the river take you. Suramondo krabas, suramadasa. The river's taking him. Hallelujah. Pro, randi li prono sondo kristi. Rala prono surababashanda. Oh, rabasana, great faith, great faith, great faith. El prano sondi li prasandai. Father, we impart great faith. I see you coming out of one room and another. That means she's coming out of one area of ministry and another area of ministry. And it's a fresh year. It's a new area. Father, I just impart that to her right now in Jesus' name. Randa rabo sondili prasakundi kasa. In the name of Jesus. Roshanda rabasa prondika basanda. Le prono yondi li prosa. Bless the cook. Oh, anoint him, Lord. Put faith, great faith in him today. Great faith. Lord, I just see, Lord, a divine deposit in this brother. I see a treasure chest. And that treasure chest is not behind a kitchen stove. There is something being imparted in this brother that needs to be heard, that needs to be given, that needs to be shared. Now, Father, in your timing, let it be released. Let that anointing, that treasure be released in Jesus' name. Oh, Ramasundu Aprivit. Oh, Ramashanda Kolisti. Father, in Jesus' name, these beautiful little girls. Randa Rabba Hasanta. John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. We're never too young to receive. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, bless the girls. Bless the lasses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray for... I miss somebody over here. Last but by no means least. Father, in Jesus' name. She's so hungry, she can feel it. She is so hungry, she can feel it. She can taste it. I impart great faith. Faith to release those doors. Faith to release those bonds and those strappings. Randa da da baba shanda la brosanta. Hallelujah. Faith to release it from ourselves. Hallelujah. Oh, rana masopra nista bondaba. Drink, honey. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh, rakabo shanda la baba sonduri kabasande. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And you've been always been willing to work. You've always been willing to do something for the Lord. But the Lord tells you this day that I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do it in you. You're not going to work for it. You're not going to strive for it. It's happening right now. Father, we impart great faith into Jennifer. Randolo prosondora babasanda. Your work, her heart, your work. Oh, ramama sandai. And it's not going to be a struggle, Jennifer. It's not going to be a task. It's going to flow from you easily. You've had trouble. You've had problems kind of letting it flow from you. And it's kind of been hard. But the Holy Spirit says it's going to go easy on you. It's going to come easy from you. Hallelujah. Just as you're obedient and open and have an ear open to the Holy Spirit. Father, impart great faith this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramashundra Kabasanta. Lepronosi lepronamasanda. Ekranaboroson drabatisti. Jesus, set her free this morning. Set her free to be who you want her to be. Oh, we just impart great faith. Great faith. Great faith. Ooh, hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Prandala prosundili pronaso tika basanda. Radadada son tike prosanda. Randa bahasota. The Lord says to you, my sister, that He knows what you think of yourself, but He knows what He thinks of you. And He thinks far more highly of you than you think of yourself. And the Lord is instilling in you a self-worth. God is instilling in you intrinsic value that is going to change and transform your life, your thinking, your vision, in Jesus' name. Father, just do it for her right now. Holy Spirit, fall upon her right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet and saturate her. Hallelujah. Come in behind her. In Jesus' name. Oh, do your work, Lord. Do your work. Do your work. A princess. That's what I hear. A princess. A princess. A princess. Oh, hallelujah. Hephzibah. Hallelujah. The Lord, is my delight is in her. Hallelujah. Come on. I've prayed for you before, but I feel the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, I've been watching you all week. And the Lord has really got His hand upon you too. You know, I've teased you as well. I spoke to you. But I mean, I'm serious. The Holy Spirit has got His hand upon you. He's going to use you in a mighty way. And you're going to know about it very soon. Just be open to the Lord. And it's amazing what God's going to show you. God's going to show you things and give you wisdom far above the wisdom of your years. And people are going to be amazed. People are going to be astounded. But it's the Holy Ghost. It's not you. Father, in Jesus' name. You said, upon your handmaidens. Upon your handmaidens. In Jesus' name, receive the word of the Lord in your spirit this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All fear, all confusion, all doubt be gone. And let the Holy Ghost move and flow and thrill her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I believe God. Have I prayed for you, Marie? I haven't. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Le romondre casilima sondiki bastonte. Rana marobro so robo soti. Oh, you know what? I hear the Lord saying, through many trials, toils, and snares, you have already come. It's grace that has brought you safe thus far, and it's the grace of the Holy Ghost that's going to lead you on. Father, all the miles you've traveled, all the places you've gone, is to bring you to where you are just now and to show you the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for Maria and Lord Marie, and I pray for Chuck, my proxy this morning. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, touch him. Touch this couple. Put a fresh anointing on them that they will never be the same again. Oh, Rama, Sabra, Nabasanta. Saturate right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Come in behind her. Amen. In Jesus' name, because I feel the Holy Spirit all over her. Rula, bro, Sandra, Kabasati. Drink, Marie, drink. Drink, 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 drink. Hallelujah. Sopra, lepro, nomo, sandrama. Randa, randa, babashun, kobo, sinti. Anoint these hands, Lord. Anoint these hands. Hallelujah. Rundo, lo, prosati, komo, sanda. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't look so scared. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you, not kill you. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and receive. Father. Oh, Rama Shandara Basanda. Holy Spirit, fall upon this young lad. Lord, I was 13 when you filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I've never been the same again. Oh, I've had my times, I've had my struggles, but I've never been the same again. I never doubted the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. Now, Father, fill this young man with the Holy Ghost. Fill him right now. Arabashula barandi lipra basanda. Rana daditre pavosulu bruno moshanda kadabasinti. Ipranuro do do bo 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 bilipre babasantiki. Oh, spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Oh, Ramashanda karabasati. Risundru lipranamanda sala praniko sote. El pranilindro bosula bruno moshanda. In Jesus' name, be filled. Be filled with the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Phil, come up here. Philip, I see concern. I see concern written right across your forehead. Concern. And it's good to be concerned. But there's a thin line between concern and worry. And I see the enemy trying to put you into the place of worry, away from even the place of concern. We're going to pray for you. Father, instill, impart great faith into Phil this morning. Phil, hallelujah. Randa, Lord, give him the joy of the Lord in place of the concern, in place of the worry, in Jesus' name. We refuse. Yes. We refuse to worry because, Lord, you have got us in the palm of your hand. That's what I see, Phil. I see you God's got the palm of his hand. No need to worry. No need to worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh, Rabo Shundra Labo Satili Pramasanda. Which way should you turn now? Which way should you turn? You find yourself at a crossroad. You're at a junction, actually. You're at a Y. And you're kind of torn to go one way, and you're torn to go another way. Now, Father, I just minister to them today. Let them hear the voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. God is going to give you direction today. God is going to give you peace. You're going to make a decision, and you're going to follow that decision, and it's going to be God's way. And he's going to shut the mouth of the mocker. He's going to shut the mouth of the gossip. He's going to shut the mouth of the doubter. He's going to shut the mouth of the devil, and you're going to have the peace of the Holy Ghost ruling and reigning in your lives in Jesus' name. And I impart this morning great faith to both of you. Oh, Rabasunda Rabarabashanda Rabasantai. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, look at this lad. He's already in church, only a month old. We're training him already. Father, what's his name?
Joseph.
Joseph. Oh, what a name. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray for Joseph this morning. He's got a great namesake. Father, in Jesus' name, raise him up. Raise Joseph up to lead your people. Raise him up, Lord, to lead him from the famine to plenty. Oh, in Jesus' name. Father, for Nikki. Randa Baba Su. Give her the strength, the power, the anointing, the wisdom to raise this boy up father, when Moses got off his mother's knee at 3 years of age, he knew who Jehovah was. He knew he wasn't an Egyptian. He knew he was a different people. Father, let Nikki implant into this young boy, Lord, who Jesus is, who Jehovah is, who his God is, who his life is. Hallelujah. In Jesus. Ura mama shaka baba sata. Rambandi so ramatasta. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Everybody else? Praise the Lord. Randa koromos andilinda basokiesta batini. Randa la brosundo lo prosini. Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus. The whole armor. The whole armor. Harada babashanda. The breastplate of righteousness. The girdle of truth. The shoes of the preparation of the gospel. The helmet of salvation. Father, as he puts that helmet on, the darts of the enemy will not be able to penetrate him anymore. It's time to put your armor on, brother. It's time to put the armor on. Ramamama shagadababa sundarabadike. Rondobo sukina maranda. Oh, so rapa sadabatata. Don't listen to the voice of the mocker. Don't listen to the voice of the flesh. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. Begin to what Jesus, what he says, that's who you want to listen to. People have laughed at you. People have ridiculed you. And that ridicule has gotten to you and you've left your armor. You put your armor down because of their ridicule. But I hereby tell you today through the authority of the Holy Ghost, it's time to get your armor on. It's time to get your helmet on and your girdle of truth on and start fighting for what is yours. In Jesus' name. Oh, Rababa Shandrabas Atiki. Rundraba Sopra. Libra Namosundura Mandaki. Randa Rabasuki and the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. The new wine is better. Oh, Jesus, flow, Holy Spirit, Spirit of peace, refreshing my soul, bringing release, mightily moving in power today. Flow, Holy Spirit, I pray. Flow, Holy Spirit, Spirit of peace, refreshing my soul, bringing release, mightily moving in power today. Flow, Holy Spirit, I pray. Flow, Holy Spirit, Spirit of peace, refreshing my soul, bringing release, mightily moving in power today. Flow, Holy Spirit, I pray. Flow, Holy Spirit, Spirit of peace, refreshing my soul, bringing release, mightily moving in power today. Flow, Holy Spirit, I pray.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.